My name's James Thomas. I'm a pediatrician here in town and have been with Faith Baptist now for about 10 years. And they've asked me to give this next discussion. All right, topic, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. This is just an overview. This is what you'll find in your notes. What is it? Some of the questions that come up are how this is organized to try to deal with these issues. What is ADHD? What is biological cause? What are some of the biblical issues? What about biological treatments? What are some practical applications? So those are some of the things. Does it exist? Is it biblical? Is it just sin? Are there biologic problems that are not spiritual issues? Does the Bible address it? Those are some of the things that we're going to try to hit today. How does it show up? What kind of things do you see? Well, there may be an out-of-control two-year-old. You may see a fidgety second grader. Maybe a fifth grade who's become juvenile delinquent. Those kind of fighting and aggressive sort of issues may come up, or you may just be talking to somebody about being an underachiever and feeling like they're not meeting their potential. The parents may be presenting different ways. They may be depressed. They may be angry. They may be very frustrated. That's commonly why they've come for counsel, is because of frustration. There may be absent parents. Whether they're there or not, they may be absent as far as their parenting concerns. They may be very busy parents, all kinds of different ways. This is going to be a very diverse group. They've all been grouped into one pot, so to speak. And I'd encourage you to be sensitive. If you're going to be counseling, look for individual issues rather than trying to approach just the whole disorder kind of an idea. Well, one of the starting places I find there's some common ground in, because it's hard to debate it, is that attention deficit is about behavior. If you look at the definition listed under point one, it's defined as a behaviorally diagnosed syndrome characterized by problems in attention, impulse control, and motor regulation. So it's recognized in the definition that it's behavior. It's important then that what's not in that, many of the things that come up, well, what about this sort of testing and what sort about that sort of testing and it all. The key is right there in the definition. It's a behaviorally diagnosed syndrome. Syndrome just means collection of characteristics. Okay? So it's not certain things. It's not a blood test. Okay? It's not a computer test. It's a behaviorally diagnosed syndrome. Well, how about looking at the criteria? And you may be familiar with this. This is what's the official criteria. When you go to the physician or the diagnostician, these are the criteria that have been agreed upon to use. Point one, six or more of the following symptoms of inattention. So they've grouped them into two groups. There's an inattentive group. There's a hyperactive group. You don't have to have criteria from both groups. They can be... You can have six or more of these, and they have to persist for 6 months. And it's critical that it's to be a degree that's not consistent with your developmental level. In other words, you have different standards for what a two-year-old will pay attention than what a six-year-old will pay attention. But then you go through this list: fails to give close attention to details, or makes careless mistakes in schoolwork. Has difficulty sustaining attention in task or play activities, does not seem to listen when spoken to directly, does not follow through on instructions and fails to finish schoolwork, chores, or duties in the workplace, has difficulty organizing tasks and activities, avoids, dislikes, or is reluctant to engage in tasks that require sustained mental effort, loses things necessary for tasks or activities, is often easily distracted by extraneous stimuli, is often forgetful in daily activities. All right, you got the point. So, or under hyperactivity, fidgets with hands or squirms in seat, often leaves the seat in the classroom where it's expected, runs or climbs about excessively in situations in which it is inappropriate, has difficulty playing or engaging in leisure activities quietly, is often on the go or acts as if driven by a motor, often talks excessively. So you don't have to have all of these. You just would have some of these. Okay, so look at that, and I ask you, you examine that list, whether I'm not sure I can back up here, but that or this list, and I want you to identify on there which of those things are not behavioral. There aren't any. This is the criterion there. There aren't any other than inconsistent with the developmental level. And if you looked at a two-month-old, what are your expectations developmentally for them to pay attention? Well, you don't really have any, therefore, you know, so in a sense there's an age, but there's no written age. So it's very easy to look at that and say, okay, this is the criteria, this is what has been agreed to go on, and it's behavioral. So it's kind of a common ground in understanding the issue. Let's see what we're talking about first. We're talking about behavior. I think it sets the stage a bit. So it's a behaviorally diagnosed syndrome. The diagnostic criteria is behavioral. Now just making the point of when the diagnosis is made, when you see a psychologist or a physician who's going to make the diagnosis, they're going to base it on behavioral observation and surveys. One of the very most common tools that is used would be a Connors Index. And if you've ever seen one, what it does is it basically goes through those behaviors that we address briefly there. And has a column set up on the right-hand side that says, they do this a little, they do this, occasionally, often, or very much. You know, so there are four columns, and you just range it. Well, then you read the thing, and you think about Johnny, and you check which one of those you think he is. So does he get out of his seat when it's inappropriate to do so? Always, all the time. So you check that thing. Well, then those each have a point value of 0, 1, 2, 3. And you get to the bottom of the list and you total up the number. So if the number is over a certain number, then you have enough to make the diagnosis. Now, two people can fill out the same survey about the same child and they could check off different things, but if their numbers come out, then, you know, so they may not agree about which behavior was the problem, but if they get a number, then that would qualify for a diagnosis. So that is the one of the methods. There are other things that can be done. There are other tests, things like you can look at intelligence, and you can look at achievement levels. You know, their intelligence is average for a third grader. Their achievement is at a first grade level. Well, there's a gap there. Well, the most common explanation for that gap is than attention deficit. But there is no actual test for attention deficit. Okay, I just want you to be clear about that. If you've heard there's a test, you're usually talking about a behavior survey rather than a test. And then we look at, well, what's the goal of therapy? You say, well, we want him to behave better. We want him to sit in his chair. You'll find that the goal of therapy is behavioral. So I make those four points to drive home the issue that we're talking about behavior, and it's important that you understand that. The second aspect is just in regards to attention deficit is therefore a label. Here you have this group of behaviors. People who are trained observers notice these things about children, so they wrote them down and they came up with that list that became the diagnostic criteria. Then you go out and you find other people with those behaviors, and you know, six out of that list, and then they therefore become part of that group. Well, that's a label. That's a categorization. categorization.